Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open His Word, and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and we're continuing our study on preparation for prayer. And again, I emphasize, I am convinced that the wrestling ring that he speaks about in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10, down through verse number 18, is the prayer closet or our personal prayer life. And we're looking at three thoughts in this study on preparation of prayer. And I pointed out to you, first of all, we see the adversary is defined. In verse number 12, he gives us the negative, who our adversary is not, and then he gives us the positive, who our adversary is. In verse number 12, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." The negative is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not a people battle. Then he gives us a positive, and he mentions here what most Bible students would say are four different ranks in the armies of the devil. He starts out with the lower category, and he speaks of the principality. Then he speaks of the powers, and then he speaks of the rulers of the darkness of this world, and then he speaks on spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is well to notice that the word that's translated high places there elsewhere is translated heavenlies. When we get to the throne of God in prayer, we can expect our adversary to be there. And so we saw the adversary defined. And then we saw the adversary described. And we come up with these four thoughts. The Bible teaches us, first of all, that he is called the devil. And that simply means our adversary. You remember the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then he's called Satan, and that simply means the accuser of the brethren. And then he's called the serpent, and that speaks of his subtlety. He is very cunning, very deceiving in his work. So he's not only called the devil, which speaks of him as our adversary and our opponent, Satan, which speaks of him as our accuser or slanderer, and the serpent, which speaks of him as the deceiving, subtle enemy that he is, but he's also called the dragon. And that speaks of his cruelty. And I said to you, he is responsible in a roundabout way for every heartbreak, for every home break, and for every health break. We do not have a friend in the devil. He is our enemy. And then I want to point out, not only there is the adversary defined, and there's the adversary described, but I want to just mention the adversary's desire. Why would Satan want to battle us? Why would he oppose us? What is Satan's desire for you? Well, let's look in the Word of God and let God speak to our heart. The Bible said in the book of Luke, chapter number 22 and verse number 31, Jesus said unto Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Now, the devil desires to sift every child of God. When you study the old-fashioned sifting of flour or meal to make bread, here's what happens. You put the total ingredients into the sifter. Then as you were shaking it, the good would fall down to the pan that's underneath it and literally become unseen at that moment. And my friend, what the devil desires to do to you is to irritate you in such a manner that your good is hid by your bad. He wants the bad to surface and the good to not be seen by this world. And then not only desires to sift you, but he desires to scare you. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8, the Bible said, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now it's a blessing to know that a roaring lion is not an attacking lion. He's claiming that territory, and he is trying to scare you away from approaching what he claims as his territory. And friend, you better hear this, preacher. Anytime that you start making advances on territory that the devil has got in his control, friend, he'll roar. He'll do everything in the world he can to scare you. But not only do we see his desire is to sift us and then to scare us, but in James chapter number 4, verse number 7, he has a desire to sidetrack us. The Bible said in James chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible said, "Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The devil has a desire to sidetrack us, to get our mind off of the things of God, to draw us away from approaching the throne of grace in prayer and get us busy doing other things. And you better note the order of James 4, 7. Before you ever try to resist the devil, you better first submit yourself to God. You try resisting the devil in your own power, and you're in trouble. But friend, you can submit yourself therefore to God, and then you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then we see not only the desire of the devil is to sift us, to scare us, to sidetrack us, but if he cannot stop us in those methods, then he will try to sweet talk us. The Bible said in John chapter number 8, verse number 44, the word of God said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof." So he will try in his own conniving way to sift us, to scare us, to sidetrack us, to sweet talk us, but his ultimate goal is to silence us and keep us from coming to the throne of grace in prayer. He does not care what methods he must use as long as he can keep the child of God from the place of prayer. Then he has been victorious in this wrestling arena. He wants to deprive the Christian of his wealth. He wants to distract the Christian from his walk. He wants to discourage the Christian in his work. And he wants to disable the Christian in his warfare. So, my friend, there is our adversary, and we must recognize our adversary as we prepare for the prayer closet. And I want to just say those last things again. The devil wants to deprive the children of God of our wealth that's given to us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, 2, and 3. And then he wants to distract the child of God from his walk. And that's given to us in Ephesians chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. And then in the latter part of chapter number 5 and the first part of chapter number 6, he wants to discourage the Christian in his work. And then in this text I'm reading, he wants to disable the Christian in his warfare. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm talking about our enemy, the devil. He is not a friend of the child of God, and especially the child of God that will approach the throne of God in prayer. He is our adversary. He is our enemy. He is our opposition. He is our slanderer. And I say it again, there is no limit to what he will try to distract us and detour us from coming to the throne room of God and spending some time in prayer. This is the enemy that I'm talking about that we must crawl into the wrestling ring with. Now I want you to notice verse number 12 again. For we wrestle not. Wrestling is hand-to-hand combat. Wrestling requires skill, but wrestling also requires strength. My friend, listen to me. We better not attempt it in our own skill, and we better not attempt to wrestle him in our own strength. And that brings me down to the next thought. Not only must we recognize our adversary, but if we're going to pray effectively, we must utilize the armor. Now, I want you to notice this, and I'll have to deal with it on the broadcast tomorrow. But in verse number 13, the Bible said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then he mentions six pieces of armor that the child of God, who's going to have much of a prayer life, will have to have. He said in verse number 14, he said, first of all, he mentions the girdle of truth, having your loins girt about with truth. And then he mentions the breastplate of righteousness. And then he mentions the shoes, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he mentions the shield of faith, and then the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And my friend, those weapons of warfare are provided for us in the Lord. In one sense, every one of those weapons speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our girdle of truth. He is our breastplate of righteousness. He is our gospel of peace. He is our shield of faith. He is our helmet of salvation. And he is our sword of the Spirit. But then I want to tell you, they have a practical application. And we must have these things in our own life. And we must take them and put them on before we approach the battleground of the prayer closet. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.
Adonai.